Thank you for that introduction. My name is Savannah Davis. I'm a master's student at Mississippi State University under the direction of Dr. Darren Dodds. And today I'll be presenting some of my research regarding the effect of various cover crop species on water infiltration. And I'll also speak on the effect of cover crop species on cotton growth and yield. So just to start, cover crops are pretty much any crop that's grown in between the time in which a cash crop is harvested and planted where the field would otherwise be fallow. There's a few different types. This is just some examples that we used in our research. They've got legumes, brassicas, and grasses, and each of these brings something different to the table. Legumes, they've got the nitrogen-fixing capabilities, so they really add nitrogen to the soil. Brassicas, specifically radishes, they have the large taproot, so they'll break up the soil. And then grasses, they've typically got high biomass, so they help with erosion and also really help to scavenge nutrients that are left in the soil. And cover crops are typically associated with conservation tillage or no-till systems, but they are used in conventional tillage systems as well, which is what we used in this research. Moving on to benefits of cover crops, they're great for erosion control. Like I said, for the grasses and other types of cover crops, the biomass that they provide in the cover holds the soil together and keeps erosion from occurring from wind and water. And this particularly occurs in sandy soils, but you can also see those benefits in other soil types. And the cover they provide also decreases weed pressure because it hinders the germination of weed seeds. And they're also great for nutrient cycling. They will uptake nutrients that remain in the soil after the cash crop has been harvested. And those nutrients would otherwise have the possibility to be leached out into the groundwater. So they uptake these, and then legumes, they have high mineralization. So after they're killed, those nutrients that they have absorbed are more readily available to the cash crop. Other benefits of cover crops include improved soil moisture and soil quality. The cover crop residue acts as a mulch and reduces the amount of moisture that can be evaporated from the soil. They also increase soil aggregate stability, and they add organic matter to the soil. Water infiltration is another benefit to using cover crops. Infiltration in itself is the rate at which water will enter into the soil so that it can be taken up by the plant. And soils that are prone to crusting will have the water just run right over them, and the water doesn't get a chance to infiltrate into the soil for the plant. So cover crops help to break up the amount of soil crusting that occurs, which helps to increase water infiltration. And there's also cover crops will penetrate through the hard pan that can be formed from tillage practices and traffic through the field. And this penetration through the hard pan can encourage cash crop root growth, which will allow the cash crop to uptake more nutrients and moisture. So the objective of this research was to determine the effect of various cover crop species have on soil health and water infiltration rate. Moving into materials and methods, this experiment was located in Starkville, Mississippi and in Tribbett, Mississippi on silty clay loams. And our plots were 3.9 meters wide by 12 meters long, and there were four replications at each location. In terms of our cover crops, they were planted late November, early December, and this was due to the high levels of drought that we experienced across the state of Mississippi at this time. They were broadcast over the each plot with hand spreaders, and we planted crimson clover, radish, oats, cereal, rye, and then a blend of rye and clover and a blend of rye and radish. And the cover crops were grown and then terminated approximately 2 weeks prior to planting with a herbicide application. As we planted cotton, we used Phytogen 444 at a seeding rate of 110,000 seeds per hectare. And as we planted, there were differences in the amount of biomass that was present in each plot. On the left is a plot that contained crimson clover, and on the right is a plot that contained black oats. So as we moved through the field and planted, we had to change our planting depth as we got to the plots with high biomass due to the moisture level in the soil was lower. In terms of irrigation, we had both irrigated and dry land plots, and we had watermark moisture, soil moisture sensors in the fields at depths of 15, 30, 60, and 90 centimeters. And when these sensors read 75 kilopascals, we triggered irrigation. And there were high rainfall amounts during the growing season. Therefore, we only had to irrigate one time. In terms of water infiltration, we used single-ring infiltrometers. They were approximately 30 centimeters in diameter, 25 centimeters tall, and they were put into the ground approximately 5 centimeters. And these were installed in traffic furrows, in non-traffic furrows, and on top of the beds. And once they were installed, we filled them with water and then went back periodically to check and see how far the water had dropped in the ring. And we also took bulk density measurements in traffic furrows and non-traffic furrows and on top of the beds in each plot. And then we dried this soil and then weighed it to get our bulk density measurements. In terms of experimental design, our treatments were factorially arranged within a randomized complete block design, and we had two factors. Factor A was irrigation, and factor B was cover crop species. We collected data throughout the season and analyzed it in SAS using the GLIMIX procedure, and data was subject to analysis of variance, and our means were separated by Fisher's protected LSD at alpha equals 0.05. So now we're going to move into our results, and this graph shows our height at bloom for our start bowl location. On the y-axis, we have our height in centimeters, and across the x-axis, we've got our cover crop treatments, and this is averaged across irrigation. So as you can see, clover, cotton grown behind clover had significantly taller plants than cotton grown behind rye, rye clover, and rye radish. And this translates, and you can kind of see the same trend when we look at our yield in Startville. On this graph, we've got yield in kilograms per hectare on the y-axis, and across the x-axis, we have our cover crop treatments. And this, again, is averaged across irrigation. So, again, we've got clover, cotton grown behind clover producing higher yields than our rye clover and rye radish plots. It's important to note that in season, we made a split application, which totaled to about 120 pounds of nitrogen that was put out over the field. And the fact that clover fixes nitrogen, it has more nitrogen than other plots, possibly. So that might explain the significantly greater yields and heights than the other treatments. It's also important to note that our untreated plots were not significantly different from our highest yielding plots in either for the yield and for our height at bloom. So now we're going to move into our water infiltration readings, and we ran this data across our treatments, but there were no differences seen. So this graph illustrates the average of all our plots for our infiltration readings. And on this graph, we have infiltration rate on the y-axis in centimeters per minute and our reading locations across the x-axis. So this graph really illustrates the fact that compaction has an impact on water infiltration. As you can see, the traffic furrow has a much lower infiltration rate than the bed and non-traffic furrows. The bulk density measurements, it's the same deal. There were no differences across treatments. So this is an average of all the plots. And you've got the same trend, just inverse. Our bed had the lowest bulk density, and our traffic furrows had the highest bulk density. So moving into conclusions, our cotton grown behind clover benefited from in-season nitrogen applications more so than other cover crop species. And in some cases, cover crops reduced yield or had no effect in comparison to untreated plots. And these data agree with Blanco, Canqui et al. In 2015, who found that in similar scenarios with conventional tillage and just 1 year of research, you didn't see differences in yields. But as you continued that research over time and had multiple years, you began to see some differences. Also, regardless of cover crop species, infiltration rate was not significantly affected. These data also agree with Blanco, Canqui et al. In 2015, who found that the infiltration rate from cover crops and other soil health indicators were not apparent in the first year of research, but you have to continue research over time in order to see those benefits. And our long-term benefits are relatively unknown. Soil improvement is questionable, especially in a conventional tillage system. Sangju et al. In 2003 found that tillage breaks are disrupts the benefits that you see from cover crops. So since we have a conventional tillage system, it would take multiple years of research to determine whether there were long-term benefits. In terms of future research, I'd like to continue to evaluate the effect of various cover crop species on water infiltration and overall soil health, and also evaluate the impact of cover crops in various tillage programs. I'd like to thank Dr. Darren Dodds and other members of my committee, Dr. Jason Kreutz, Dr. Tyson Raper, Dr. Jack Barco, and Dr. Jeff Gore for their help and assistance throughout this process. I'd also like to thank my fellow graduate students and student workers and the Mississippi State Farm crew for all their help. And at this time, I'd take any questions.
Is there any questions for our speaker?
Yes, sir. Okay, so the question is if we saw any nitrogen deficiency symptoms in our non-legume cover crops versus our legume, and no, we did not. So the question is if it's a problem that non-legumes are tying up nitrogen for this system, and since we had the application of nitrogen, I don't think there was really an impact because we didn't have any no nitrogen put out. The nitrogen we put out, I think, was sufficient enough for the cotton to be grown without any addition. Yes, ma'am. She asked what species of legume we used, and we used crimson clover. Yes, sir.
You said crimson clover, you used crimson clover in the delta?
Yes, sir.
Is it an acceptable practice in the delta?
He asked if using crimson clover in the Delta was an acceptable practice, and I don't have an answer for you. It grew fine in our situation, but I'm sure I would need to look into that more.
Yes, sir. All right, let's thank our speakers.